presence you're in, you would connect. You know, we show so much honor for our national anthem, which we should. So much honor. We meet someone, we stand up to greet them, to show them honor. We are in the presence of God today in this place. He's a living, living God right now in this place. And more importantly, He's in this place. And that's what counts. That my God lives here. Inside this broken, shattered, sinful heart, my God stepped in. When the veil was torn, He came into me. He was no longer confounded or bound by the law and what kept me from Him. But on the cross, He said, "It is finished." And when the veil of the temple tore, my heart was opened up. And now I have access to receive all He has for me now. Right now, in this moment. I don't have to wait for it, church. I don't have to die to get there. It is now, right now, right now, right now is the presence of God alive in this place and inside of you. And when that presence is alive in you, things change, dynamics shift, circumstances change, giants fall, demons flee, darkness leaves, healing comes forth, chains fall off, because in His presence you cannot be the same as you were when you leave. He changes you because we're in that holy ground. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, we're on holy ground today. And we ask, God, that you take us above the noise in this place today, above every lie the devil has told us, that we stop listening to all the lies of everything we've heard and we hear the voice of truth. I refuse to let the noise of lies silence the voice of truth. I refuse that, for your truth sets us free, God. And we thank you for that. Give you all praise for it in your precious name. Amen. Y'all can be seated this morning if you so wish. Hallelujah. Thank you. We're glad you're with us today. As you know, we're a church. We always have been. We're not very protocolic. We don't go by a lot of order sometimes. I really want the Spirit to do what the Spirit wants to do in every service and what He wants to show us and what He wants to speak to our hearts. As God began to prepare this message, I'll tell you how I got this message. I rode up last week by myself just for a couple hours. I needed to get away. I rode the Blue Ridge Parkway up there. Went to an overlook of this park for about an hour. Only two cars went by me the whole hour. Two cars only passed me. I sat there with my engine off in my car, my window down, looking at that overlook, and could hear nothing but silence. I couldn't hear any noise, no traffic, not even a bird. I couldn't hear anything. And I'm looking out there thinking, this is a place that we should be living spiritually, to where all the noise doesn't disrupt our lives to the point we can't function. To where all the noise distracts us. Noise does a couple of things. It disrupts and it distracts. And if we're not careful, we let all the noise of the world, all the stuff around us, all the culture, try to shape and transform our hearts. And that's what we hear. And we got to get above the noise to hear what God has to say. God, I got to get here to see what you want me to do. I've got to hear your voice. And I can't hear your voice if it's muddy down here with all the junk I'm listening to. I've got to get away and get to a different place than where I'm at now. I've got to shed the natural and walk into a supernatural realm, because we have to believe that for Christians, church. We have to believe in a supernatural realm. If we believe there's a Jesus who lived, died, and rose from the dead and filled our hearts with the Holy Ghost, and we believe He's in us, we've got to believe in a supernatural realm. We've got to believe there's more to this world than what we're seeing and what we're hearing, what we're touching and what we're smelling and what we're tasting. There's a whole realm around us that we can't touch right now in the flesh, but it's there. It's alive, and it's there right now. And I got thinking, Lord, take us higher. Take us to a place of glory, a place that men and women of old saw. You move in a way that man cannot possibly move. Move in a way, God, that is impossible, but yet you made it possible. Move in a way, God, where one prophet stood before all those false prophets at Mount Carmel and says, I will call on my God, and you call on your God, and let's just see who wins this battle. And these hundreds of prophets stayed there all day long chanting and begging their gods to consume that altar. And they begin to cut themselves with pieces of stone, trying to get their gods to listen, but nothing happened. But when the prophet stood up and said a few words in the name of our Lord and Savior, something happened. The fire came down and it sucked up the water, and all the land saw there is a God above your measurement. There's a God above your ability. There's a God above your knowledge. There's a God above your capabilities. There's a God above that. Take us to that place, that supernatural place above the noise, where it's me and it's God, and that's all that matters. Too many voices we're listening to, and that's what gets us in trouble. We take too much advice from wrong people and wrong sources instead of saying, God, what do you have to say? There was an old commercial growing up. You're my age or older, you remember this commercial. Old commercial. When E.F. Hutton speaks, what? Everybody listens. When J.C. speaks, we need to listen. What do you have to say in my life, God? That is what I want. We have any kids this morning before we get too into it? Want to go back to children's church? If you're a younger kid, a little kid, a wee one, want to go back? Oh, yes, offering. Thank you very much, Maverick. If your kids have an offering, put your offering in. You can be dismissed to children's church. Yeah. Oh, don't want to stay out here. What did he say? I know you're Hudson. Don't he look cute? Look at him. Oh, I called him Maverick. I'm sorry. I meant Hudson. Here's Maverick. There's Peyton. Maverick. He just plopped on the front row and lay down. Turn to 1 Samuel 17. Let's get in our word this morning. We're talking about being above the noise. We'll talk about a story we're all familiar with. This is where David's legacy begins. And he was a young boy at this time, just a young lad, probably a teenager. And he was a shepherd boy. Shepherd boys, they watch sheep, right? They take care of the sheep. They're out there protecting the sheep, making sure nothing gets them, hurts them. They're feeding them, they're watering them. They're making sure they're safe. That's what David's job was as a shepherd boy. David was not a military man whatsoever. David was actually a man of peace, not a man of war at this point of his life. He was just taking care of the sheep. Well, something happens here in we'll start with verse 1, go 1 through 11, and then we'll skip around a little bit for time's sake. It's a long chapter. I wanted to say the meat of the message this morning, so we can skip around a little bit. 17, verse 1 says this. When the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, they were gathered together at Shokok, which belonged to Judah, and pitched between Shokok and Azekah and Ephes. Y'all know the story. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. So they're getting ready to go to war. The Philistines stood on the mountain on one side. Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. So they're matched off, getting ready to roll. And there came out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. This translates into over 9 feet tall. He had a helmet of brass upon his head. He was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. His coat weighed about 125 pounds. He had greaves of brass upon his legs, a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, about 15 pounds. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and he cried in the armies of Israel, and he said to them, "Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and you are servants to Saul? Choose you a man for me, and let him come down to me. And if be able to fight with me and kill me, we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, you shall be my servants and serve us." And the Philistine says, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." And when Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. They were hearing the wrong message. Think about this, few military folks. You're on one bank. The Iraqi's on the other bank. And a big old Iraqi comes out, a 9-foot Iraqi. Says, "Pick you a man to fight me." And all you American soldiers are looking around. "You want a piece of him? Nah. Go ahead, I'll get the next one. Go ahead, I'll get the next one. Now you go. They were so afraid because of one man standing in their way, not realizing they had a God that was in the way, in their way. They let this giant be what they saw in front of them. How many times are we afraid just because we see something in front of us and don't know how to deal with it? Don't know how to handle it. And as you know, bullies get their kicks off of being intimidating and making you surrender to their will, when most time, a good old black eye will fix most of that, or a punch in the nose, and they'll leave you alone. But we look at it, and they call us, and they stare at us, and they make us so afraid. We got to understand there's all kinds of noises distract us. There's all kinds of enemies all around us. They're always trying to reel us in and pull us down. We have the voice of poor health that hits our lives, right? Sickness, disease. We have the voice of discouragement, depression that hits our lives. We have the voice of fear and anxiety that hits our lives. We have the voice of hopelessness that comes against our lives. We have the voice of brokenness that comes against our lives. All of these things are real. I'm not discounting that. They are real. Fear, anxiety, depression, discouragement, sickness, disease, poverty, divorce. All of these things are so real, and they can so impact our lives. But we must remember who we are. We are children of the Most High God, and we have angel armies all around us. And God is fighting through us, and God is fighting for us. And God is going before us, and God surrounds us. Who can be against us if He is for us? We are more than conquerors through Him, not through us, through Him, through Christ Jesus, which strengtheneth us. So we must realize who we are serving. I'm not serving the devil, I'm serving my God. I'm not serving the enemy, I'm serving the Lord and Savior. I'm serving the one who came supernaturally through virgin birth, who walked the earth, who died, and the third day later rose from the dead and ascended back to the Father and poured His Spirit inside of me. Hallelujah, His Spirit lives inside of me. I've got all that I need to stand against the enemy and win every battle. If I go above the noise to a place where God is at and not where my feelings are at, and not where my emotion is at, and not where my thoughts are at, not where my capabilities are at, to say, God, I give it unto You. I want my strength to become Your strength. I want my faith to become what You say, God. I want what You are to become all that I am. I don't want to see the giant be a giant no more. I want the giant I see to be You, God, because You are the biggest giant of them all. You can stomp out every enemy under Your feet. You can stomp out every problem under Your feet. I have hope in You because of what You've done. And guess what? No matter what the devil does to you as a Christian, he still loses because you have a home that cannot pass away. The Bible says we have a hope, we have a home, we have an inheritance, we have something that's reserved in heaven for us that fadeth not away. And the devil can't take away what God's done give you. He can't take it away. Don't listen to that either. So many times we doubt that. What if, what if, what if? We can take assurance through God's word that we are saved, we are born again by faith through Christ, we are redeemed, we are reconciled back to God, and we have a hope and a heritage that is eternal and that is real and that is fixed. And the devil can't do nothing. He can do all of his little temper and tampers he can against your life, but he can't steal that away. The world doesn't give it, and the world can't take it away. What your inheritance, church, the world didn't give it to you. Jesus gave it to you, and he can't take it away. So they're afraid. Two armies. What are they going to do? Let's skip down to verse 32, just for time's sake. Between 11 and 32, what happened is David heard talk what was going on, and they said, whoever fights this man, kills this man, will get a lot of money, lots of riches, and get to marry the king's daughter. So there was a lot at stake for the man that would step up and fight this battle. So verse 32, we'll pick up here. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine. Now think about this. David was a non-military man. He was a shepherd boy. He did not wear armor. He did not pack. He did not drive tanks. He had no stripes on his shoulders. He was a meek, mild shepherd boy. And out of all the army of Israel, these seasoned veteran soldiers, David was the only one that stepped up to say, I will fight this soldier. I will fight this 9-foot giant. The reason David had no reservation, as we'll read here in a minute, It's called David had been to a higher place. David had been somewhere they hadn't been. David had been to a plane above the noise where it didn't make sense. David went to a place where it should have been, he should have been destroyed. He could have been overcome, but he wasn't, because his faith was in the God that he served. And he gives testament here of why he's qualified. Because sometimes people say, what makes you qualified? Saul asked him the same thing. He said to David, you're not able to go against the Philistine. Anybody ever tell you you're not able to do something? Look them in the face and go, I can do whatever I want in Christ. Don't tell me I'm not able to do something. Don't you dare tell me I can't do this. Don't you tell me I can't stop drinking. Don't tell me I can't stop drugging. Don't tell me I can't stop smoking. Don't tell me I can't change. Don't tell me I'll never be any different. Don't tell me that. That is lies the devil tells you. He puts it in your mind, and he justifies that over and over, day by day, until you believe it, until you become what you believe. It's time we realize, no matter what the devil says you can't do, you remind him what you can do. I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things, church, through Christ. That's my strength. I can't do it myself, but I sure can do it through him. And that's what I'm relying on. I can do all things through Christ. Saul immediately points out, you can't do it, David. You're not qualified. He says, you're but a youth, and he's a man of war. He's been a man of war since he was a boy, since he was young. And here David gives his resume. If you ever go get a job, you interview for a job, I'm going to give you some advice as a former manager. You got to sell yourself. You got to give your resume of why they need you and why you're important to them. You got to make them believe they're better off with you than without you. Here's David giving his resume to King Saul. Look what he says. He said, your servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And when I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth, and when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and I smote him. I killed him. I slew him. Your servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised, this unclean, this unfit, this ungodly Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. Man, David had been with God already. How many of us, a lion or a bear coming to our little flock, would just be able to do something like that? We'd be climbing a tree, wouldn't we? Fast as we could. Go, sheep. Go. We're going that way. Hurry, go. Not David, boy. He attacked and he killed because he was in a place where he was allowing the anointing of the Lord to be his weapon. He didn't need a bunch of military equipment to kill this lion or this bear. He just needed the power of God inside of him. And I know our lives have been attacked through the years with lions and bears coming into our world, our circle, our families, our homes, our minds, our lives, and trying to rob us and steal away from us the goodness of God. But don't you let it. We have more power than we realize when we stand up with faith in God to say, I refuse to let this be my destiny. I refuse to let this be my future. I refuse, devil, for you to keep me down the rest of my days when the joy of the Lord is my strength. And that's what I'm going back to. I'm going to walk again in the place that I used to walk. I'm going to walk where I walk in the things of God, where I pray for things and expect them to happen again. I'm going to begin to lay hands again on things in my life and expect God to move on those, not because of me, but because his word says that. I'm going to begin to walk again in a level, in a place, in a realm of glory that maybe I've not been in a very long time because I've let the world pull me back down. But it's time to go back and look at that overlook and go back to that parkway and see the vision that God has painted up there that looks so different than the vision we see right here. Get above the noise and hear the voice of truth in your life today and what God has for you. David was above the noise. He didn't care they were afraid. He didn't care he was 9 foot tall. He didn't care he never fought before. None of that mattered to David. All he knew was, I know God was there then, and God will be there now, and God will be there tomorrow, because my God's in my everyday, and that's all that matters. We don't fight as Christians like other people fight. We don't fight with the same weapons. We don't fight on the same level. We don't fight in the same rim. We are fighting, the Bible says, spiritual wickedness in high places. And the Bible says to put on the armor of God, not the armor of Saul. The armor of God. Put the armor of God on, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. That's what we fight, that we may be able to stand against the attack of the devil when it comes. Because every one of us in this room, we either have been attacked, we are today being attacked, or you will be attacked tomorrow. All of us are going through something, either past, present, or on the way, that the devil is going to come against our lives. And we need to be in a place that we can fight in the ways of God, not in the ways of man. We are not going to make, we don't have any power of the devil on our own strength, zero. But when we allow the Holy Spirit in us to begin to rise up, and we begin to see things. See, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. More than just hearing here, hearing here. The word has to get into our heart to where we believe what we're actually hearing. And when we hear that truth and it becomes alive in us, nobody can take that truth away from us. I know who I serve. I know he is well able. Just like Joshua and Caleb, the 10 spies went out to spy out the land. They came back and it says, we can't do it. The men are big. They're giants in that land. But old Caleb steals the people. And he says, hey, what are y'all afraid of? We serve a God who is well able. Let us go up at once and possess the land. It's time you take your land back and tell the devil to get off of what God has ordained you to walk in. It's time, church, to rise out of the ashes of defeat. It's time to break the cycle that you are in. It's time to get out of the dark place that you've been in and say, I'm going to again walk in the light of the true living God that I serve. That's what I'm going to walk in. No more darkness, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more fear. It's time to reverse that and get out of where I'm at. I'm in a dead-end street. Reverse it, get back out on the highway, and start moving forward. It's time. That's what God desires for us, but we have to go higher and above the noise to hear that. David wasn't listening to everybody being afraid, didn't bother him, didn't care. He just says, you know, let's do it. 37, David said, once again, he's giving his testimony to Saul. The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. David is saying, I'm going to do it. The same one delivered me out of them will deliver me out of the field. He had no doubt whatsoever because he had been in a place where doubt wasn't an option. The word magnify, I've said this before, the word magnify means to enlarge, make bigger. And we magnify the Lord, we are making God bigger. We need to magnify the Lord and not magnify the devil. Because the devil is already defeated. Calvary has crushed his hold upon us. But we keep letting the devil take our lives and let what he says is the gospel, what he says is the truth, instead of believing what the word of God says. So Saul says, go be with them. Now look what Saul tries to do. Saul's trying to help David here, but this ain't what David needs. Saul armed David with his armor. He put on a helmet of brass upon his head. He also armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor. He essayed to go, for he had not proved it. He hadn't tested anything yet. And David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. You know what he had proved? God. God approved himself to David. He could not wear this armor. He wasn't comfortable wearing it. He hadn't tested. He didn't know how to fight in it. He wasn't used to that. He said, I can't have this. So he just said, you know, take it off of me. I don't need this armor. Can you imagine a soldier going out to fight with no armor? It breaks all logical sense. But what worked for Saul wasn't going to work for David because Saul was here and David was here. Saul was in the midst of the noise and David was above the noise. God had been with David in a very special way and David had no doubt. God, and that's what we got to remind ourselves too, our past victories. Remind ourselves, maybe you've not been delivered out of the hand of a lion or a bear. I hope you haven't. I mean, I hope you have, but I hope you haven't. You know what I'm saying? But you have been delivered out of something. God has brought you out of something. God healed you of a disease or a sickness. God healed you out of a broken heart. God healed you of a broken marriage. God healed you out of a, you know, as something, maybe in a past addiction. Or God has delivered you out of something. So you remind him, God, The same God that broke this in my life, he can do this in my life. The same God that did that can do this. That's why the stories of the Bible are so important that we never forget to remind ourselves of what God did when he brought the children of Israel out and he parted the Red Sea and he fed them manna all that time and he kept them healthy all that time and he put water on a rock and he slew a giant and he closed the mouth of a lion and they walked through fire and the moon stopped for one day. All this stuff that we read about, all the stuff which I believe happened, I believe is the word of God. I believe it's absolute truth. And these stories that we hear, this history that we see, is a reminder of where God has been, what God has done, and what God is still doing. Though the book of the Bible we read through Revelations, there's been no more added to that, it doesn't mean that there's not more that we can hear from God other than that. We have to be in a place to hear what God wants to hear, which means we rise above the noise. Saul put the armor off, don't need it. Let's see what happens next. He took his staff in his hand. He chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook. He put them in a shepherd's bag, even in a script, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. Now think about this. This Philistine, Stacy's over 9 foot tall. He's tall. He's a big mug. And he's probably as wide as he is tall. He's got all this armor, hundreds of pounds of armor on him. He's standing there, helmet, probably a faceplate, whatever you call it, face guard, sword, big old shield. You know, he's strapped. He's ready for battle. And here comes little David. Here comes little Maverick, who's asleep on me. Here comes little Maverick with a slingshot. Can you imagine what a sight that must have been? A 9-foot giant full of armor and a little old regular-sized teenage boy with a slingshot. And he's approaching Goliath. What's up? Ready to go down today, Mr. Philistine? I really believe, Bill, he had no doubt. Because I'm telling you, how many of us would do that? I would definitely be saying, you know what? Well, I got kids. My wife needs me. Now I hear her say, go for it, Jack. Okay, thank you, man. Thank you. I mean, here he is with nothing but a slingshot in his hand. And he's approaching this big giant. And look what happened with Goliath. When the Philistine came on and drew near to David, the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, it disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? Now, back in this culture, dogs were considered dogs. they weren't like they are today. Dogs were, they didn't care for them in that culture. And the Philistines cursed David by his gods. Goliath was insulted. This is the best you're giving me. This is who you say. He was insulted. And here's why. He also thought, there's no victory in this. I beat this little boy. There's no victory there. This is the best. I mean, really? How can there be any glory for me if I beat you? This little 17-year-old, 150 pounds soaking wet, no warrior, no armor, slingshot looking whatever kid. That's who I'm going to beat, really? That's my reward? I mean, us as guys, we have egos, right? I don't care who we are. We can be, you know, the humble as we want. We all got some kind of ego. And, you know, if it'd be pretty hard for me to get in a fight with, you know, with Maverick, right? Come on, Maverick. I'm going to beat you up. Yeah, I think you can. Woo! Eye of the tiger. Dun, 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 dun. I beat a 6-year-old. Dun, dun, dun. I mean, this was nothing to Goliath. This is a kid. He's a man of war. He would have got no glory for this. They would have made fun of him. That'd have been jokes in the bar rooms that next day, around the saloon table. That'd have been jokes. Hey, knock, knock. Who's there? Goliath. Goliath who? Goliath. Ain't no good. I don't know. Anyway, you know what I'm saying? That'd have been knock, knock jokes about him. I mean, knock, knock jokes. And he knew that. This is the best. Send me somebody out that's worthy of me. Look what David said. Well, first of all, Goliath 44. The Philistine Goliath said to David, come to me, I will give your flesh to the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. The weapon David used was not anything in this realm. It wasn't on this level. It wasn't part of the noise Goliath was rumbling about. David says, I come to you in the name of my Lord in whom you have defied. Now think about that. You're about to see something special here because you're defying my God. Let's just see if my God is bigger than your defying. Let's see if my God can overcome you. I don't need what you got, Goliath. And I'm all that you can handle. Just trust me because God's on my side. He said, he went on to say this in 46. I mean, you're talking about some trash talk is what they call it in the sports world, right? David was trash talking. Look at this. This day will the Lord deliver you into my hand, and I will smite you. I will take your head from you, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day to the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. Talking about some trash talk. You're a Golden State fan, okay? Steph Curry's on the court, okay? And he tells LeBron James, he's guarding against him, tells LeBron James, I'm going to take your head off of you and feed it to the carcasses. And you're going down, LeBron, going down. Trash talking. But you know what? He was doing it under the inspiration of the anointing of the Lord. It wasn't David talking. It was God talking through David. It was God letting Goliath and the nation know that I am enough. I, your Lord and God, am enough. Remember the story when David began to number the soldiers of Israel and God got mad at him. He began to number the chariots, the horses. He went out and did a census to see how big his army was. And God got mad at him. We might think, why would God get mad at David going out just to count his army? I mean, that's, you know, he needs to know what he's got, right? But God was mad because David was depending on the size of his army of how he could have victory versus the size of his God. That's what he was upset about. He says, don't you trust me? It's not your army that wins your battles. It's me that wins your battles. Yes, I use the army, and I use your soldiers, and I use people, but it's me that all victory comes from. It's me that all battles are won. It's me that everything is overcome. It's me that's ahead of all things, the head of your army, the head of your kingdom, the head of your palace. It's me, the head of you, David. It's me. And I think that's where we've lost something as a Christian because we've let the noise come in and think it's got to be about what I do, how much I pray, how much I do this, how I got to figure this out, how I got to find out all these plans, how all of it's going to work out, and we put all of this on ourselves instead of really laying it down, saying, Lord, you are the head of every decision. You're the head of every battle. You're the head of every storm. You're the head of every giant. You're the head of every circumstance in my life, God. You are the head. And if you're the head always above everything else, God, I can trust that you're going to be in charge of my body, my soul, my mind, my money, my family, my marriage, every single thing, God, you have got to be the head of. When God is the head of everything in our lives, things work out much better. But we don't allow God to be the head of our lives. We allow him to be our Savior, but many of us don't walk with him as our Lord. And there's a difference. He saved us from our sins, but is he Lord of your life? Is he over every decision you make? Is he over every direction you take? Is he over everything that you think? Is he over everything that you do? God wants to be the head. And when he's the head, things work out. When he's the head, the body fits. The body works. So he trash talked him what he's going to do to him. Then he goes on here. He's still trash talking, 47. And this whole assembly, all these people, here's what he's saying. All these scaredy cats wouldn't come fight you. You hear me, John? Hey, Benjamin. What's this? Yeah, whining. What's this? You too scaredy cat to go fight him. Watch what's going to happen because you don't believe in a God who you say you serve that he can't take care of this enemy who's defying the God you say you serve. You know what they were saying by not stepping up and fighting? They were afraid, the Bible says that, and they were afraid that they wouldn't win. Which really, if you get down to it, means they didn't trust that God could cause them to win. Because all they saw was the enemy in front of them. Not the God that was in them, fighting for them. So he says, all you assembly, listen up. Watch this. You're going to know the Lord saveth not with the sword and the spear, for the battle is the Lord's. Wouldn't it be great this morning if we all could really release our battles to God today and say, the battle is yours. I'm not fighting no more. I mean, I'll do what you call me to do, God, but this is in your hands, and I'm going to listen to you, I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to trust you from this day on to fight this battle for me, because I'm tired of fighting, and I'm tired of losing, and I'm tired of being miserable, and I'm tired of being overcome, and I'm tired of being battered and beat. I'm tired of the brokenness. I'm tired of the pain. I'm tired of never having any victory. I'm tired. So God, I give it to you. The battle is yours. Take the enemy that I can't shake. Take the enemy or enemies I can't get rid of. And God, get them out of my life. Lord, take them away from me because I can't do it. But God, in one ushering moment, you can sweep into my life, my mind, my heart, and you can remove that thing that's been there for years and years and years and years. And God, you can remove it supernaturally in a moment, in an instant, right now, God. You can lift that out of me. Even if I don't see the end of the story, even if I haven't obtained the full victory, I can at least have peace in the storm, and I can praise you in the rain, and I can have comfort knowing you're in this, and it all is going to work out because something good is about to happen to you. Something good is about to happen to you. And if we could trust that, then all things would be well. Just to have peace in the midst of our storms. I don't have to see every battle won today, but I do need to know God can and will bring every victory to my life in due season when it's time. So in the meantime, I enjoy the ride and I hang on, trusting God through it all, no matter what I see. Verse 48. Oh, finish 47. The battle's the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Boy, he's fired up, wasn't he? A little fiery thing. Remind me of old Scrappy-Doo. Remember old Scrappy-Doo? Hey, Uncle Scooby, I'll go get him. You know, Scooby's always pulling him back. You know, always pulling him back. No. Scooby's always afraid, but not Scrappy. Scrappy's ready to fight all the time. We'll get him, Uncle Scooby. I ain't afraid of that old ghost. Come on, Uncle Scooby. You're not afraid. You're Uncle Scooby. Come on, Uncle Scooby. I mean, he was just ready. Can you imagine? David was ready to fight because he already knew the outcome because he knew the overcomer. And it wasn't in him. It was in God. He had complete trust. God, you're going to make this sucker go down. This giant's going to hit his hind parts in an instant. Not because of anything I do, but because you are God and there is no other but you. That's what he knew and that's what he believed. And that's what we need to believe, church. And y'all should be excited about this. Got 3.5 amens in here. That's all right. David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and he slung it. And he smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. There's many people translate about what the stone represented. He slung in it, many things, and none of that to me is terribly important, other than I do think about this. I think about how that, you know, Jesus is the rock, right, of our salvation. He is the cornerstone of all things. And talks about, I will build my church upon this rock. And when the storms come and when the winds blow, it will not destroy it. A rock is very symbolic to me of Jesus, of the foundation of the gospel, the foundation of our faith. And what David was releasing, he was releasing his faith in the form of a rock, saying, the rock of my salvation is taking you down. The rock of who I serve is taking you down. This is not me, this is him taking you down. He fell upon his face. One stone fired, one little rock slung, and the giant is down for the count. David put his hand in his back, verse 50. David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and he smote the Philistine and he slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Nobody could ever say, David beat him with a sword. Nobody can say David was a better soldier. David had better equipment. David could fight better. Nobody would ever say that. Think about this. What they saw was absolute miracle. This over nine foot seasoned from his youth giant who fought his whole life armed with every equipment possible in the military at that time stood before a little kid with just a slingshot and five stones. And if there were bets going on around the corner, 6-1, 8-1, 5-1, what's the over-under, you know, all that stuff. Nobody would have bet on David. Nobody. So now the battle is over, and all the people can truly and clearly see, wow, it was our God that did this. It wasn't David. It wasn't his abilities. It wasn't his skill set. It wasn't his knowledge. It wasn't his warfare plan. God did this. And God can do it for you if you allow your life to get above the noise and above what everybody else is telling you. And I will tell you, there are a lot of noises in our head every day going on. Our mind is our worst battlefield. Right. You ever lay down at night? You're tired, ready to go to bed. When you lay down at night, boom, all of a sudden you're awake. All those thoughts at night start flooding you. All the things come in there. All the challenges of what if this don't work out. All the things of what's going to happen tomorrow. All the things of, you know, what if your life's always. All that negativity, all that anxiety, all that fear seems to attack you at night when you're in bed and you're laying there still and you let all those thoughts come in. That's where we got to get above the noise. Say, I'm tired of being in this place. I'm ready to go higher. I'm not going to listen to fear anymore. David did not listen to fear. He listened to faith. And there's a big difference. One man stepped up and one man changed a nation. And this act David did didn't just change a nation. It changed his destiny. From that point on, he was known. And from that point on, they seen God in him. And as you know, later in David's life, he become the king of Israel, to replace Saul. All because he didn't listen to fear. He listened to faith. Rise above the noise this morning, church. Rise above all the stuff, all the lies, all the junk. What got me thinking about this, I remember through the years, before things just have so changed in our culture, I remember being in a place where the anointing of the Lord was so powerful in my life. And I began to question what has happened with that. And it's not that God has changed. It's not the anointing has changed. I was in a place to receive it then. And I've took myself out of that place. I've let things of the world step in to replace where I used to only let God be. See, there was a place. Is my mic? Can y'all hear me? Is my mic on? There was a place that's only made for God. But we've allowed other things to come into that place. That's why I said last week, we've got to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit, more sensitive to His Word, more sensitive to what God wants. I don't care what the world says. Church, I don't care if the whole world goes bat crazy. If they go wacko out of their minds. We cannot allow that to change our walk with God. I don't care who says what is right. I don't care if every preacher in America, every Christian, every leader comes out and starts saying, you know, let's accept all this and nothing wrong. We need to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying. No matter what is happening in our culture. And that only comes by getting above the noise and getting in a place. And here's something else happening in our country that's very disturbing. I'm seeing it at many different churches in my travels as a minister and just other ministers I'm meeting at that place. I see it. Churches that had 150 people 10 years ago are down to 40 people today. And that's common everywhere. Not everywhere, but a lot of places. Because more and more people do not see the importance of coming together in a corporate worship setting. And the reason that that's important is because one thing, it's biblical. And one thing, it shows that our heart is taking time out to take time to honor and celebrate and worship our Savior. There's 164 hours, I think, in a week. And we have church only between Sunday and Wednesday, Sunday school and everything, what, 3-4 hours a week? I have 144. Taking time to come. And then I get folks that will start giving me a look because right now it's 11:12. Oh, my gosh, you're going to melt. For the Super Bowl, you'll be sitting there with your pretzels and Bud Light for 6 hours and not moving. Can I be real with you this morning? You won't move. You'll watch every commentator, every word they say, the national anthem, the military flyover. You'll be watching every cheerleader shake and move. You'll be watching everything. All the I got our Super Bowl commercials. They're always so good. The Super Bowl commercials. Pay $1 million for a 30-second ad. Are you serious? My gosh. Who cares about a Super Bowl ad? And we'd say glued to that stuff. And then we wonder, I know, is that Colson? I know, baby. I know. Colson, the world wonders then. We wonder, I don't hear from God no more. Turn the TV off. Turn the noise off. Turn the world off. And take time. I promise you, you go to God and begin to talk to Him. Grandma, have you ever talked to God and Him not answer you back? Have you always heard from God when you started praising and worshiping? You always got something from God, didn't you? Always. Always. Something happens when you go into the presence of the Lord. If we could shake some terrible towels up in this house, terrible towels for Jesus, oh my gosh, can you imagine? Introducing our Lord and Savior, number one in touchdown passes, number one in yards thrown, number one in longevity. He has started 2,000 consecutive games. Introducing your quarterback, Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? We go crazy over people that don't even know us. Man, I come home from a Jason Crabb concert a couple years ago. He hugged me. Kissed on my head. Ooh. I've kissed you 26 years. I don't get that reaction. He kissed top of my head. I go Jason Crabb him. So excited. New Kids the Block. Took her to a New Kids concert several years ago. New Kids, right? In the middle of all these screaming women. New Kids comes out and they're dancing and singing and stuff. In the middle of 20,000 people, Melanie looks at me and says, James, he's looking at me. There's 20,000 people. He don't know you're alive. He's looking at me. Gosh. I tell you who is looking at us, our Lord and Savior. He's watching us, He's with us, and He loves us. And we're His special creation. Stop living in the level of the noise and get up above it and start walking in a place where you can experience the glory of God again in your life. The glory of God, the power of God, the presence of God. Yeah, I know, even the kids understand. You know what Colton just said in Baby Talk? Get with it, people, hear the preacher. That's what he just said. Get with it, people, hear the preacher. It's time we get above the noise. I'm going to have Brandon play this song right here in closing. I pulled this up, and if you're in Sunday school, you heard this song as well. Did you play that song in Sunday school, Bill? Oh, no, never mind. So you didn't hear it in Sunday school, so that's good. You want to hear this song, and this song talks about getting out of the power of fear. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Fear keeps us in a place that we can't get out of. Fear paralyzes us. If fear would have been in David's life, Goliath would not have fallen. But David overcome fear because he wasn't a slave to fear. He was a servant to faith. And if you're ready to lay that fear down, I'm going to play this song. So it's a pretty song. It's a newer song. I'm going to play it and just give you time during this song. If you want to come talk to God a minute, just give it to Him today and say, you know, Lord, I want to go to a higher place today. God, I need you to take me to a higher place. I need you to take me above the noise because all I'm hearing is the noise in my head, and I want to hear you, God. I need to get clear again. If that is you today as this song's playing and you feel drawn, just come to the altar and give it to Him. Say, God, take me to the place where I can hear you, I can see you, I can feel you in the ways my heart desire again. Because God's not changed. Church, I grew up charismatic, grew up Pentecostal, really, who I grew up. And I grew up with altar calls, people crying, people shouting, people praising God, people dancing in the Spirit. Man, I grew up to where when I was in church and the Lord would hit, there was no greater high, no greater thrill, and no greater joy than that. God's not changed. God can still cause your feet to dance. He can cause your hands to raise. He can cause your heart to laugh. He can cause your eyes to cry. God can still move on you in supernatural ways. But we've got to put ourselves in the place where He is at. And that means getting above the junk we're carrying and saying, God, here I am. I'm giving it to you today. If you are ready to get above the noise and have yourself set free from what's binding you today, as they play this song, just come talk to the Lord for a minute and give it up to Him today.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears have come. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear.
I just ask that you take each of us to a different place. You turn it off. Lord, I pray you take us to a higher place than this place. That God, you lead us to a place that we have not been, maybe in a very long time, or a place we've never been. I pray you speak to us, God, in a Moses moment, God, in a Joshua moment, in a David moment, God, in a Joseph moment. That God, you speak to us and impact our lives and let us see that you can take us so much higher and so much deeper, so much farther than we ever can, staying around the noise we're in now. Let your folks know there is deliverance through you, there is healing through you, there is breakthrough and victory through you, and that the mountain that seems so immovable today can be moved in an instant. As your word says, speak to this mountain, and it shall be cast into the sea. And God, we speak to those mountains today that the mountains will not be our defining moments. The mountains will not be our defining journey, but the mountains will simply be an obstacle that we see you, God, move out of the way for us, that we will have victory and look back and say, the mountain was there, but God took me through, took me around, took me over, took me across, and the mountain no longer is what I see. The mountain that was before me is now behind me because God has took me on. Thank you for that, Lord. Take us to that place today. Day to where we walk in spiritual places of truth and of intimacy in your presence. In Jesus' name we declare this. Amen. Amen.